say if they're all like this.
You gotta move on.
Yeah. No questions. Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankara Vavahai Tejasvina Vadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Which shower starts the Dasamur?
That we're doing this one starts.
Previously,
it's just
been overview. Overview. Okay. So in the other, in this, it has the other things of the decimals, the other decimal stuff in it, or
no? This is second shower. Third shower, we actually start with Krishna.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it goes throughout. Yeah. So then you'll bring in from the Dasamul, Tattva, Dasamul, Yas, and that. Yeah, because they have different, many of these works are on the same thing, but they just have different angles that they translate from and stuff. Because that one of them has an extended translation. Have you seen that one? Or? It doesn't just give the simple thing, but it gives like a whole paragraph.
Oh, like one verse, like an original Sanskrit verse for Asia.
I think so. Yeah, because that one brings in things that the other ones don't bring.
I'll try my best.
Okay, yeah, stuff it all. Yeah. Well, basically what happens is I just have to ship the other one to the other class. Okay. The authoritative position of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In order to understand the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, we must first refer to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya himself did not leave any written works except the 8 verses of the Shikshastaka. There are few verses attributed to him in the Padyavali, but from these verses we cannot make any systematic instructions. There's also a few very small books which some people claim were written by Lord Chaitanya. After examining everything, we must conclude that these are all false claims. From the many works which the Goswamis wrote, we can thoroughly understand Lord Chaitanya's teachings, but they do not mention any works written by Lord Chaitanya himself. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the authoritative work. From this work, we can understand the Lord's character and teachings. These teachings are confirmed perfectly by the words of the Goswamis. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is given so much respect. Sri Krishna's Kaviraj appeared immediately after Lord Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu's direct disciples, Raghunath Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and many others assisted Krishna Das in writing his work. Before him, Kavi Karnapur had written Sri Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka, and Vrindavan Das Thakur had written Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. These works were a great help to Krishna Das Kaviraj. Considering all points, we have had to depend upon Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Footnote 32. Some time ago, I happened to see one new publication called Sri Chaitanya Bodhini. The authors had vowed to give the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya to the world. The vow is not bad, but the system they propose to gather Sri Chaitanya's teachings is very dangerous. The authors thought that they could extract the Lord's teachings from the Sanskrit work of the Goswamis, They forgot that the essence of the Goswami's work is contained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is sufficient to take this work in order to present the teachings of Chaitanya to the world. There is no one as learned as Kaviraj Goswami today. Anyone who thinks that he can extract the essence of the Sanskrit works of the Goswamis better than Krishnadas Kaviraj is certainly worthless and foolish. I have firm conviction that by presenting to the world clearly the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, nothing else need be known. However, many topics in Kaviraj's work are described in a cryptic way. In those places, it is best to consult the Sandharvas, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and other works of the Goswamis in order to clarify matters. The aim of the Chaitanya Bhavadini, however, was to bypass the superior authority. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sriman Mahaprabhu Siksha, page 2. So what we did before was the Mahaprabhu Siksha.
Yeah.
So what we did was it a couple of years back. What we thought was the Chaitanya Siksha was the Mahaprabhu Siksha.
It actually came out 6 years after this book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that seems to be just in a very nice way, just taking the Dasamula and using the same kind of form, but putting it a little bit more, I say, the discussion. It's kind of more, it seems to be more discussion just of, you know, how pleasant and nice and everything. And it was very.
This is a lot more quotes from the Shruti.
Yes, yeah. That could be. Yeah, because I think everything's Upanishad, a very nice Upanishad verses. During his, I was just meaning the mood of it. Here it's just like going through like an essay, just exactly establishing the teachings. But there there's some this kind of the presentation about, you know, how the intellectuals will appreciate and those kind of things.
Regarding Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami, he mainly quotes the verses from other scriptures.
Yes.
So that's why we say Chaitanya Charitamrita is more philosophical than Chaitanya Bhagavata,
Yes, you could say like that. But the point is, in the pastimes, it's. I mean, there's the philosophy why the pastimes are like that. In other words, you have the philosophy is simply defining how the Lord does things. Right? Tattva defines how rasa works. Right? But the point is there is when the pastimes are running, then the teachings that Lord Chaitanya himself is giving, then that would be your philosophical aspect. But otherwise, the idea is that the pastime itself, it's a matter of becoming absorbed in that and attracted to that. Does that make sense? So he makes a distinction, like in the beginning here, is that this is not a work for tasting the Lord's pastime. This is one defining the Lord's pastime. Right? Like Bhagavatam, that's for tasting. Chaitanya Charitamrita is for tasting. But this is to define. So he also, in the beginning, defines. You know, those first so many chapters, he defines everything so that you will have the proper attitude in which you go through the teachings. But here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making the point is that if you try to understand Lord Chaitanya's teachings simply directly from the Acharya's works, the Goswamis, you won't actually catch it. Because all of them, they gave, you know, all the different aspects to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So he's included in Chaitanya Charitamrita all of the essential points of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Right? So if you want to know what Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is, you read Chaitanya Charitamrita. At the same time, it also tells it in the past, with the pastimes. But then, you know, the like Prabhupada gives in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it's like a summary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But what he does is he focuses on the five conversations. Right? So that is then all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Right? So that's what would be brought out, that's what would be supported, you know, from their works, from other works and all that that Kaviraj Goswami would do in connection with the philosophy and the tattva. And then the pastimes, then there he defines, goes into detail of pastimes that others haven't. is what the Chaitanya Bhagavad or Mangal didn't go into detail. That's where he goes into detail. And where they've got into detail, he's just summarized. So that way, for pastimes, then you'd want to read means both of the Bhagavad and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But as far as the philosophy, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita that would establish it. Right, so, like that. But areas where he just gives in simple form, then you give the details will be in the Sandarbha and in the Nectar of Ghosh. Yes.
The book Chaitanya Mangal is mainly about the life of Chaitanya.
I can't say exactly. I mean, it's pastimes, but what is difference in the angle there that's not in the Bhagavad? I'm not sure, because I know of those two were written first. But what's the difference between them? But he does say that what's in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, whatever is given in detail, he won't give the detail. He'll only give a synopsis. But in the preaching, so in other words, the Adi Lila, which is all basically Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Navadvipa and that, that's where the most detail is given in Chaitanya Bhagavad. Therefore, he gives the minimal detail. But in the Bhagavad, then, what's in the Madhya and Antya Lila, that's in a simpler form, so that's where he gives the detail. So the detail of the pastimes is the Madhya Lila and Antya Lila. Because the Adi Lila is just like an overview of Lord Chaitanya's, you know, pastimes in Navadvipa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching activities. During his married life until the age of 24, Chaitanya would preach the glories of the holy name and the necessity of chanting the Lord's name to all souls in Srivasa's courtyard, on the bank of the Ganga, in his classroom, and on the road. After taking sannyas, the Lord instructed Sarvabhauma in Puri, Ramananda Rai in Vidyanagar, Venkata Bhatta in South, Rupa Goswami, as well as Raghupati Upadhyaya and Vallabha Bhatta by trickery in Prayag, and Sanatana Goswami and Prakashananda in Varanasi. From these instructions, we can understand Lord Chaitanya's teachings as they are in truth. After going through all these teachings, the principal points of his philosophy have been presented here. Displaying extraordinary mercy to the living entities, Mahaprabhu preached pure Vaishnava Dharma or Jiva Dharma all over India. He himself went to some places and preached. To other places, he sent preachers to do the work. Giving the preachers unlimited spiritual power, he sent them out to all places, and impelled by the prema he has bestowed on them, they took up the task without expectation of pay or reward. For only a preacher of pure heart can preach the pure Dharma. In the present age, in various religions, people preach to earn a living. This, however, cannot give the intended result. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7.163.167, it is written, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates of the Panchatattva distributed the holy name of the Lord to invoke love of Godhead throughout the universe, and thus the entire universe was thankful. Lord Chaitanya dispatched the two generals, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, to Vrindavan to preach the bhakti cult. As Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were sent towards Mathura, so Nityananda Prabhu was sent to Bengal to preach extensively the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went to South India, and he broadcast the holy name of Lord Krishna in every village and town. Thus the Lord went to the southernmost tip of the Indian peninsula, known as Setubandha. Everywhere he distributed the bhakti cult and love of God, and in this way he delivered everyone. Right, so he preached, and he sent his others to preach. In other words, basically India, you have north, you have south, and you have east. Right? So he went south, sent Rupa and Sanatana north, and Lord and Nityananda east. So that way then.
What about west?
West is between north and south. It's just there's north and south, and then there's what's east of that. So Bengal is east, and everything above of south means south is is your five states, your Kerala, Tamil Nadu, right? Or if you don't want to cause trouble, you say Tamil Nadu, Kerala. Because Kerala is technically a part of, used to be a part of Tamil Nadu. But then Andhra, Karnataka, and Maharashtra, and Gujarat. Those are all South India, technically. That's the Panchadvipa. Like that. Because Kerala, is, in that case, is part of Tamil. Like that. So the that's the, those are the southern states. Then other than Bengal, the other are all northern.
He also appeared to Balabhacharya, sent the Tukaram, and gave them the seed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tukaram it was more direct, but it mentioned here that Vallabha it was by trickery, because he had his own commentary and there wasn't much to discuss, but something was there.
Yes. Odisha.
Yeah, it's part of Bengal, but part of it's also south, so it kind of has both the flavor of Bengal and south. Orissa's like if you combine Bengali and southern. Then you get Orissa, but it's the, you know, so Puri, Bengal, all that, that's like east. But Bengal would include what's now Bangladesh. It would have included, you know, Assam and all those states. That's east. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya in essence. Mahaprabhu taught in essence that the eternal function of the living entity is Krishna Prema. The living entity can never be separated from this Dharma. However, as a result of forgetfulness of Krishna, being deluded by Maya, the living entity has attraction for other things. And this Dharma is almost lost. It has become concealed within the living entity. Thus, the living entity falls into material misery. The living entity, again, by good fortune, remembers that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Then this Dharma again appears and the living entity becomes healthy. So, another means this, as we mentioned before, it's the covering or this transformation of the natural love that one has for Krishna into that attraction to things of the world. So the reason people are attracted, the reason there's the idea that there's, you know, the ideal love and the ideal situation and this and all these things is because that's just the, that, how you say, that dim light of the actual position of the love for Krishna just shining through the covering, right? So all the good qualities, those are actually, those are from the soul. And so then then they're applied. Bhakti, in Jiva Dharma will come up, he'll mention seven natural qualities of the soul. They're inherent in the soul. They're like compassion and these kind of things. So that's why everybody has them to some degree, because the soul's there. If it's covered too much, they become greatly reduced.
They say the way that it was designed so that the world is still remembered that we have a soul. Those lingerings.
No, well, those lingerings are, I mean, is because you can't get rid of it anyway. You know, so even if you have, like we say, the ring has mud on it, still now and again by, you know, how you handle it, you sometimes see the gold, but there's still mud all over it. So unless you wash, so that's by being in the association of the devotees, then that comes. That's it. Faith in this truth is the root of all success, right? Faith that it's our natural position, that's what's going to give success. Faith appears in two ways. Some people develop faith after developing a distaste for the material world after many births of Sukriti. Right? Quote, if by good fortune a living entity develops Shraddha and Krishna, he begins to associate with devotees. Another straight name for Shraddha is Vishvasa. Right. So sometimes is you've done many, you've worked with the material world, you've got a distaste for it. Because you would say that would be more of a strong position. Someone's pious, and they're performing all the different activities. After a while, you've done whatever there is to be done. So then one loses a taste. And then from that Sukriti, there would be the element to look for something beyond. So if you're fortunate, you come in contact with the Vaishnavas, you learn what's beyond.
Yes. This is like what we heard of in the previous class. The previous class, we heard of this pious man who gotten all materials.
Yes.
The last
right. So you see that. You see, like, also in the life of Siddhartha. Mm. Right? He has everything, and then he starts seeing there's something beyond that. Right? Because much of the time, if people don't have, and they can't, they get frustrated. So you have a small window. Yeah. But if the facilities start to improve, the window seems to close quite quickly.
Okay.
You know? So that's the... Nard Muni mentions that's the process of the malechas. Mm. You know, it's just like you have a fire, you put some ghee on it, it gets bigger. You put so much ghee, it goes out. So that moment when it goes out, that's when the malechas open for spiritual life. So if you can deliver it to them at that time and cultivate and give the association, then they move forward like that. This is not so ideal, because then by performing devotional service, then one becomes pious, facilities come up, then it can reawaken that old fire. But if the association is good, the practices are good, then that can be controlled and it'll go. But, you know, because there's still the ideas, you're frustrated about material life, but it's not that you don't have a desire to enjoy. The other one is if you had the facilities to enjoy, but you see it doesn't actually, it's not satisfying. That will be more complete. So that's why also in the Vedic system you have, the brahmachari gets trained. Then as a grihastha, they try to fulfill the needs. Then you see that these needs don't really satisfy. Then one can move on from there. That's the idea. Yes?
From a better perspective, Rajneesh and Osho?
Yeah. I know him as Rajneesh. You put a hat on him and now he becomes Osho. I mean, how does that work? Yeah.
He's thinking of the ghee, the fire, which is the point of association with Vaishnavas.
Yes, because he was a very strict brahmachari before. Very, very strict, very austere. But he was not getting any satisfaction from that. So instead of at that point taking up devotional service, because that would have been his natural window, right? And then if he took up devotional service, then he's already in the renounced mood. He's already tried that. That means to be that focused on renunciation means he's already done all the other activities before, the pious and trying to enjoy. So then, but not having the devotional, so it's just, what do you go back to? Then it's then, why try to renounce? We'll just go the other direction. So then he makes this whole philosophy of how you just try to enjoy the senses. But the problem is that doesn't work either, you know, because that's also speculative and all that, so it doesn't really reduce or get rid of. But it seemingly makes it authorized, but at the same time doesn't deal with it in its actual way the Shastras deal. Like that. Yeah, you know, you make your own hodgepodge, so then it's not going to work out well. Right?
Basically, there's two ways. This first way is not for religious.
The first way?
It doesn't describe it. Some people develop faith and develop it in this phase after many verses.
And the second one?
No, the first one that you just read.
Yeah, two ways. He mentions here, but I think he's explaining this. Then later he'll say about the other way.
Yeah, in two paragraphs down it says, if the natural intrinsic faith appears in the intense way.
Okay. Okay. If by good fortune a living entity develops Shraddha on Krishna, he begins to associate with devotees. Oh, okay, so here is one is a distaste for the material world, and then you have Shraddha because of association. But in any case, the Shraddha only is going to develop properly in the association with devotees. You know, that's what the morning class is saying, is that without association, actually the process doesn't work.
Yeah. I think he's talking about Komala Shraddha versus Buddha Shraddha.
Okay. Oh, later he'll define that. Okay. Okay. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the charge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. Right? So here, now, if notice here, by rendering service, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, called Shraddha. Right? Now, if one has faith of, you know, rendering service to Krishna, right? That's there, that's faith. But if one, how you say, doesn't appreciate that all the subsidiary activities are taken care of, right? Then it won't be firm faith. So it's not complete in its Shraddha.
Subsidiary activities means
activities of charity, sacrifice, you know, all the naimittic activities of being nice, being good. In other words, what the theistic moralist is so worried about. You know, all those different activities. No, you take care of your family and do all your duties and establish yourself in society and all these things. Devotional service takes care of that. What benefits you get from doing that, if they're your duties, you would get them just by doing the devotional service. But if that faith is not there, no, you have to get an education, get a job, situate yourself, do all these different kinds of things, then the faith won't have that same quality. Right? Therefore, it doesn't work as dynamic for advancement. Because it's the quality of your faith that determines the quality of advancement. Does that make sense? Prabhupada defines prema as mature faith. So that means it's what's happening is when you first come in contact and develop this Shraddha in Krishna, it's called Shraddha. Then when you take up the association of the devotees, then it's called Sadhusanga. But that means the faith is now increased, that the association of devotees is important along with that. Then when it increases further, you have faith that the following the processes, authorized processes, that's what's actually going to make things work. And then when it's more, is that actually the anarthas within the heart have to be removed. Because before that, you generally think your anarthas are okay. You know, that's that you've been working hard to get those anarthas. Right? So there'd have to be faith. Right? It always happens. You call somebody and they're never there, right? And then when you think and they're there. How do you vote, sir? 1:30. Okay, that's what we were calling about. Okay. Okay. Yep, how do you vote? The ringtone matches the person. Otherwise, that's not the ringtone. That's his ringtone. Faith means the confidence that by worshiping Krishna, all the living entities' duties are accomplished. Right? 33. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the sense and limbs of the body, simply worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. See, it also, the question comes up because we're not necessarily so worried about all these different things, right? But here it's a matter of then you're worried that doing all the things for the forefathers, those regular shraddhas, the worship of the demigods, all the different aspects that one must do in karma, then all those are taken care of by devotional service. But that means your faith is fully there. If it's your duty to do those things, you do them. But it's not that, but you're doing them to please Krishna. You're not doing them because you have to do this to develop or materially progress, or that will make devotional service work better. Does that make sense? You know, some will feel that, well, unless we're situated like this, we can't perform devotional service. No, you can perform devotional service. If you have a nice situation, it just makes things easier. Does that make sense? So there's no faith that the material situation is the cause of devotional service. Does that make sense? Okay. So just the faith goes, and then when it matures more, one becomes fixed. Because now you're, that devotional service is all there is, you've gotten rid of the nartas, because the nartas are ideas that other things will make devotional service work or are beneficial. Right? So then, yes.
What's the connection between the modes of nature and faith?
The modes of nature and faith. Faith means this faith.
Yeah.
Nothing. You understand? But people will have faith. So therefore, faith in the mode of ignorance will take one form, faith in the mode of passion another, faith in the mode of goodness another. So faith in the mode of goodness, that's useful in devotional service, because it means faith in the scriptures, authority, you know, the proper pious activities, that will give good result. But even that's not actually the point. It's doing it for Krishna is actually what's giving the devotional result. Does that make sense? Because he's basically taking it from his works that we're working on the person situated in goodness. You know, so the theistic moralist is he's working in goodness. And so that's the platform we'll start from, because from there, because we're not going to get into passion and ignorance, because they're not really so useful, you know, as a matter of faith in that. Does that make sense? Yeah, because passion means I do the work, I get the benefit I need, that will make me happy. That's your faith and passion. I'm doing proper work, but I'm doing it for myself. Goodness, I'm doing the proper work because that's what I'm supposed to do. By doing that work that I'm supposed to do, that's what will make me happy. Right? Not that the result from the work is what I'm going to enjoy. Right? And then the mode of ignorance is, no, whatever I feel like, that's what's going to make me happy. So it's actually ignorance. You don't know what's happening. Does that make sense? So the material technically has no connection. Right? Devotional service is not dependent upon karma or jnana. It's independent. Yes.
Some devotees seem quite passionate.
But how do you define this case passionate? It means just because someone's very active and likes to do things yesterday, and if you haven't done it within a nanosecond, then it's too long. But the point is, they could be like that and doing it for Krishna.
Yeah, but I'm thinking attached to the form. Discussing very much the form.
Okay, but the results of the form, who are the results of the form for?
Krishna.
Okay, so then you could say as there is the... the mode of passion, the way of activity, being very active, mm-hmm. that could be intensified. Mm-hmm. But the mode of passion from wanting the results of the activity, that's not there. So in this way, then they're engaging that mode of passion in Krishna service. Now you're wondering how to engage the mode of ignorance.
No, I'm not going.
That's the point. After the halava and between the, after the halava and when you wake up, that's the mode of ignorance.
LSD.
Yes. After performance of Sukritis, the soul becomes satisfied, and from the eternal function of the soul, this natural Shraddha appears. 34. If somehow or another, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28. So here is not too disgusted and not too attached. Because if you're too disgusted, then you can't work with things that are favorable in devotional service. And if you're too attached, you won't use them for devotional service, you use them for yourself. So you have to have that balance. Means, in other words, you can see, it's okay, what you're attached to, but you can use it for Krishna. And what you may not be attached to, that you also can use for Krishna. So that position will be very good. Because the point is, you're supposed to be attached to Krishna. So therefore, it's not a matter of you're detached in the material world, it's a matter of you're attached to Krishna. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like the circus with the trapeze artists. You have to let go of your attachment before you can grab onto Krishna. I mean...
Yeah. Generally, well, that would be... They'd use the inchworm. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
But same principle. Because the only problem is with that, is there is the moment in between.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you brought out a very large inchworm and he went and put one foot and then said, no one would probably be interested. It's because there's that gap in between. You don't quite know if it's actually going to work.
But it seems when you're preaching, often this is people's problem. They're afraid of letting go, because then what? You
know, yeah, well, that's why it's take up the devotional process. They take that up because everyone likes to be happy. They take up something. No one minds adding something. It's getting rid of something that's a problem. Right. Unless you're what was it? Disgusted with it, then you let go of it. But they just like to keep adding.
Yeah.
So you add devotional service. That'll purify, and just eventually then, you know, it's just like the, how you say, the cockatoo. Yeah, cockatoo. You know, it lays its eggs in the other nest, right? And so then it grows, but their babies grow bigger than everybody else. Eventually, there's no room in the nest except for them.
So devotional service is like...
Yeah. I saw in the temple the other day, because you have, you know, when they're babies, and, you know, they come and make noise and that, and the parents feed them. So there's a myna. You know, the mynas are only like that big. Mm. But there was a cockatoo baby that was like this big, and it's sitting next to it like that. And they're feeding it, but it's kind of like looking at it like, it doesn't quite look like the rest of us, but you know. So this time it was, you know, had all the spotty and everything like that, but it was very big. It was like this big, and the other bird's only that big.
They're 14, they still suspect nothing.
Yeah. By following the process in the association of devotees, then it will. Because it sees with time is that you take it up, you get very inspired, so then you take up, then you figure, well, I didn't fulfill all the material desires, and they do that, then after a while they figure out, well, that's pretty useless, and they get more serious again, you know, like this. Then it.
So it's not like Freud or Carnegie that we work on something specific. Like, we concentrate on that, you know, getting rid of the
bodies. No, because if you want to concentrate on one thing, concentrate on developing love for Krishna. Because it's just like this. What's important, that means in the concept, the boy is attached to the girl, or that he doesn't like any other girls? Yeah. Because he could not like any of the girls, but not like this girl. You know what I'm saying? So the point is if you're attached to this girl, automatically the other ones aren't important. So if you're attached to Krishna, the material world isn't so important. So we focus on just not being attached. You know what I'm saying? You know, the boy and girl walking down the street, and the boy saying, no, I don't like that girl. No, I don't like this. Would she be very happy with that? No. Okay, so that's why we focus just on anartha nivritti and trying to get rid of the falls. That's not so interesting to Krishna. What's interesting is trying to develop the love for Krishna. But to do that, you avoid anything that will be a trouble. You know what I'm saying? In other words, he's walking down the street, and if one of the ladies smiles at him, he doesn't reciprocate. He just kind of looks the other way. Right? So that's how you deal with the anarthas. You just don't get involved. Does that make sense? Well, I mean, he mentioned before Chaitanya Chandra Nataka. So this is in the, what do you call it? In the grammar of drama, Rupa Goswami recommends that if you use either conjugal or chivalry, those themes are common. Everybody likes those. Somehow that they always work. The person who has developed faith by practicing devotional activities in the association of devotees destroys his material attachments and gradually progresses through the stages of steadiness, taste, attachment, bhava, and prema. Right, so person who has developed faith, Shraddha, by practicing devotional activities, Bhajana Kriya, in the association of the devotees, Sadhusanga, destroys his material attachments, Anartha Nivritti, and gradually processes through the stages of steadiness, taste, attachment, bhava, and prema. So then, it's interesting. Acharya's will sum up one thing in just one sentence. You know, so these are all of us. If the natural intrinsic faith, well, he doesn't just say these are the stages, but he shows how they work. Right? Right? So his faith by practicing in the association, then that destroys the gradual process. In other words, he's focusing on practicing devotional activity in the association of devotees. That will destroy the material attachments and bring one to the stage of steadiness. What happened to 35? Oh, here it is. If the natural intrinsic faith appears in an intense way, the devotee practices rag marg. 35. As long as one is not satiated by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravana Kirtan of Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. Right? So in other words, here, if the fruit of activity is still there, then naturally rag doesn't come up. Because there's already there. It means rag is there, but the rag is for the material. Right? Rag means attachment. Right? This is also in the Gita. Raga dvesha bhaya krodha. It means, so rag means attachment, material attachment. So by having that, then how will the other come up? So as that goes down, then that can come up. So the focus is on that. Not considering so much the rules of the scripture, he can fearlessly progress in his practice on the path of intense attraction to Krishna. However, if the faith which is developed is weak, then the devotee must progress by taking the help of good advice from the authorized guru. As this faith usually starts from faith in the scripture and the instructions of the guru, normally the guidance of scripture is very essential. Right, because the scripture tells you what to do. I'm saying the scripture says, you know, now you go up and get Charinamrita. But Raganuga just means you see the Charinamrita, you just want to take it. Well, that's another thing. Yes. I forget what it was, but there was a time, I don't know if temples still do, where they used to, in the morning, take the water from bathing, and then Prabhupada mentioned mix it with yogurt and some sugar, right? Many times also in India they put camphor or things like that. But that would be, in India, see, it's just a little bit, you know, like that. So it's still liquid. You still get, you know, this much and like that, but it's just a nicer thing. But some of these places, they would take it and get the yogurt, you know, and whiz it up so you have this really super thick yogurt with tons of sugar in it. That's the Charinamrita. And they used to use these ladles, you know. It's probably, could easily be 100-gram ladles, you know. And so, and the rule is you're supposed to take 3 drops. And because these ladles, it comes out in 1 drop. So, you know, so you're taking 300 grams of Charinamrita. So the line for the Charinamrita would be there for a long time because everybody had to take the 3. And then you add on to that the religious experience, you know, doing everything very carefully. And yeah, so it's... No, one at a time. You take one, then eat that, then one, then eat that. Well, that's why it would take so much time. Then the next person. Everybody else is in the kirtan, right? There's a whole line over there that's just hanging out at the Charinamrita. So that was... I don't know if they still do that, but...
80s or...?
Yeah, 70s, 80s. Some temples have that. Generally the big ones. Right, so there you could say there was rag, right? They had natural inspiration to go over there and take the Charinamrita. Okay. Right. In other words, the guidance from the scriptures, guidance from the guru is necessary in that it tells you to do that, therefore you're doing it. Rag means, why it says is not so much, it's not considering so much the rules, because the activities that are mentioned in the rules are the natural activities of devotional service. So you do them because you like doing them rather than because scripture says you should do them. You know what I'm saying? It's not that the Raganu doesn't do the things in the scriptures. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mahaprabhu's experience of the holy name. My dear sir, kindly hear the reason my spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of Kali, there is no other religious principle than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep the name within my throat. Just on the point of all the scriptures define this. Like even when we're dealing with Manu, like means he was in the chapters describing the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra and study of the scriptures and all the different rules about the scripture study and all that. Then the point was being made that if a Brahmin simply chants the holy name, then all the other duties and all the other knowledge of the scriptures automatically taken care of. Therefore, he can be the topmost Brahmin, though he only knows the chanting of the holy name. Right? And later on, we'll see when we get into Prayaschitta, that all the Prayaschitta is for known impious activities, right? What people know about. What they don't know about, then you take care of by chanting the holy name, by chanting, studying scriptures, like that. That's how you get rid of it. Because that's the actual process. But because people don't necessarily have faith in that, therefore if they know about it, you have to do something else. Does that make sense? So they're just in Manu, in two places he's already given that it's the holy name that's the essential point. Right? And then the other things are techniques of dealing with, but the essence is that. In this age of... So this is what the spiritual master... The other mantra. To keep the... Yeah. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative for spiritual progress than the holy name. The holy name. The holy name of the Lord. Since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I think that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I have been bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself. And thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing, just like a madman. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. Right? Because the thing is, this knowledge makes everything very clear. And attachment makes things not clear, you know, like that. So it's not becoming clear, so he's thinking this is something that's covering his spiritual understanding. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Chanting the Lord, the holy name in ecstasy causes one to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of God, the fifth and the highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. The importance of scripture. Right, so, when one has a taste for the name, then the taste for dharmartha, kama, and moksha, then they seem like straw in the street. It's insignificant. Mm-hmm. You don't worry about it. There's straw there at the street. When you're going to step off the curtain, there's straw there. You don't hesitate in stepping on it. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't mean anything. Right? When they unpack the boxes, they just throw the straw in the street. They don't think, oh, keep this. This is valuable. Right? It's just thrown in the street.
For the donkey, the straw is attractive.
Yeah, but the donkey generally within these circles is called the mudha, which means that grossly, materially absorbed. So he thinks it's something important. He also, the donkey thinks when he brays, he's singing poetry. He actually does. So for him, he's singing nice poetry, you know, like that, and everybody else starts coming, beating in, throwing things. You can't figure out what's wrong.
What's going on?
No one likes poetry? Hey, what's wrong with you guys, you know? Philistines. Okay, the importance of scripture. From the words, consider this verse and keep it around your neck, we can understand that faith is nourished and grows by following scripture. According to Mahaprabhu, scripture, or Vedic scripture, is the only authoritative proof. Rules of logic and argument are no proof. So now we're establishing praman. Is that what's happening? Yeah, because in the Dasamul, the first thing to be established is praman. Otherwise, what's the meaning of the Pramayas? What's their basis? So if we've established that scripture is the only way of having authority, then all the points of scripture then become the basis of understanding the philosophy. Yes?
You don't suffer this Praman, then you have so many things to deal with.
Yes, that's why he's saying here is therefore rules of logic and argument are no proof. Because otherwise others will say because it's logical or because I argued well, or I observed it with my senses, or that's the reason, or it's inferred. You know, from this you can infer that it's that. You know what I'm saying? So all these things are there, so that's inference. It's not real, but they'll make it into a solid thing. You know?
But we use it when we're preaching.
We use it, but we're using it from in the opposite direction. We're starting with scripture and then using the other forms to establish it. That's fine. But without scripture, you try to use them, then you're not going to come to any conclusion. You know, so the problem's not seeing things with the senses. That's called realization. Mm-hmm. I hear about it, that's understanding. That's jnana. Mm-hmm. But I'm able to see that with my senses. That's vijnana. Does that make sense? You know, so that's what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. The evidence, the self-evident Vedic literatures are the highest evidence of all. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 7.132. The condition, in other words, there's all kinds of evidence, but the highest is the Vedic literatures. The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and its supplements, the Puranas. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 20.122. So, the Lord, through His causeless mercy, gives the scripture, right? The spiritual master is defining the scripture. The sadhus are speaking according to scripture. So, therefore, it all goes back to scripture. Scripture is the central point, right? Krishna is the central point, but He's given the scriptures.
Scripture is Krishna.
Yeah, so scripture is defining Krishna. Like that.
The term self-evident, because Krishna being the origin, is evident for himself.
Can also be self-evident because means they're always there. You know, it's apurusheya. So it's not manifest, it's not created, it's always there. So therefore the scriptures are eternal. It means the Veda is eternal. Then how to understand and appreciate that Veda, then the great sages then give us the Smriti, right? The various scriptures that then define how to use that. Right? Does that make sense? So they manifest and then disappear, like that. But the Veda, it never does that. Right? But those teachings are teachings of the Veda, so technically the teachings never disappear. It's just whether we can appreciate them or not. But the Veda is always, there's not a time of manifestation or not. It's always there.
But sometimes you explain this exists because of that and that because of that.
Yes.
It will end.
Right. So all knowledge ends with the Veda, because that's always there. And the Veda comes from the Lord. Like that. Yes.
Another meaning we can take out of it is from Rukhtanya discussing the Sarvabhauma with Acharya, told him that the import of the Vedas is self-evident, that you're like a cloud, you know, over the sun.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. There's just like the nature of the soul. The soul is able to understand the actual position of something because he doesn't have any illusion. He knows he's servant, Krishna's there, everything's Krishna. So that's self-evident. But by recovering of illusion, then we cloud that, and then it appears to be not so evident. Yourself is evident, but not that the knowledge is self-evident. You know, or, yes, means in other words, if Guru Sadhu and Shastra, Sadhu and Guru are speaking Shastra. So it always has to go back to Shastra. Okay. But we're not going to understand Shastra without Sadhu and Guru. Like that. So they go together. But does that make sense? It's like Krishna and his energy, but the energy is dependent upon Krishna. So, you know, so you are able to appreciate Krishna because of the manifestation of the energy. Right? Krishna's qualities you won't be able to appreciate without the manifestation. That's his energy. Does that make sense? So in the same way as the scriptures, the knowledge of the scripture, it's only manifest through Guru and Sadhu. Does that make sense? So therefore the scripture is the masculine aspect of authority and Guru and Sadhu is the feminine aspect. But the point is through the feminine, that's where you see it. Like that. That's the active, the dynamic. Okay, the relation between Shraddha and Shastra. It is clear that there are two types of faith. Komala Shraddha, weak faith, and Dridha Shraddha, firm faith. Okay, so then, yeah. Bhakti that arises from firm faith is very strong and naturally intense with spiritual emotion. Mahaprabhu's views about this are expressed perfectly in the Shikshastaka. Concerning Komala Shraddha, Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, if by good fortune a living entity develops faith in Krishna, he begins to associate with devotees. When one is encouraged in devotional service by the association of devotees, one becomes free from all unwanted contamination by following the regulative principles and chanting and hearing. When one is freed from all unwanted contamination, he advances with firm faith. When firm faith in devotional service awakens, a taste for hearing and chanting also awakens. After taste is awakened, a deep attachment arises, and from that attachment the seed of love of Krishna grows in the heart. When that ecstatic emotional stage intensified, it is called love of Godhead. Since love is life's ultimate goal and the reservoir of all pleasure. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 23:9-13. For a person with strong faith, right, saw there also nicely how it's just explained, the whole process, how one moves to the other, what causes it like that. For a person, yes.
As you said, free from all unwanted contamination.
Yes.
And then in the second chapter, first canto, Bhagavatam, free from nature's modes of passion and ignorance. One
yes.
Situated in greenness and becomes completely happy. So this unwanted contamination, is this the contamination of the modes?
It's contamination, yes. So it's basically passion and ignorance. In other words, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, or you're doing things because you don't actually understand things how they are. And passion means you're doing things because you want the results. Right? So that will keep you entangled. Right? You're working for those things that you think are real. Right? You think they're real because of ignorance. You're working for them because of passion. So goodness is you're working because you're supposed to work. And you're doing the work you're supposed to do. Right? Due to ignorance, you do any work. And due to passion, whatever work you are doing, you're doing it for that result.
And so only in goodness then can one attain firm faith?
No, only in goodness that, I mean, how you say, it's not the goodness that generates the firm faith, that's a situation. In other words, by being situated in goodness, then the attachments for things or the repulsion for things is minimalized. Therefore, you can appreciate the sadhu sangha and the devotional process. Does that make sense? In other words, the material aspects that are favorable are only favorable because there's minimal distractions. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's why certain things are recommended, certain things are restricted. Because what's restricted is what's going to cause the most distraction. But what's recommended also within the Naimittic is also a distraction, but it will be minimal. And it's the ideal for engaging in the Lord's service. Yes.
Can we say that firm faith also develops when we have the desire to get?
Firm faith when the desire, it all basically comes down to desire. You don't desire it, then why would it come? Right? And even if Krishna presents, but if you don't have desire, you won't take it.
Yes.
Just like if I bring nice prasad, if you don't have the desire to eat, you won't. Right? It means you don't have the desire to eat, so there could also be no prasad. But even if we bring prasad with the idea of inspiring you to eat, if you don't manifest the desire, you won't. So the living entity is not interested in Krishna consciousness, but we're still providing opportunities that they could be. So unless you awaken the desire, right? So either the desire is awakened because he sees that's very nice, or it's awakened because he sees the material world's not working so good. Does that make sense? So that also, I guess, would also deal with the firm faith, the Kamala, what was the other? Kamala Shraddha and Dridha Shraddha. So firm faith, then that will be, you know, in the dynamic after Narta Nivriti. Weak faith generally means that, you know, it's there, but there's all the other material things. So it's that material world's a problem, so therefore, but this looks like an alternative. I'm taking it up, I'm associating, doing all these things. The others, you come in contact, this is nice, I want to do this, so immediately you're situated. Does that make sense? So that would be, I guess you'd say, the two kinds of faith. So the Kamala by practice will turn into the Dridha. Okay. Right? But the process is the same. It's just that in the process, it includes all the way through. So wherever it is that you come in, then it will be defined as weaker or stronger. Yes?
The person falls down from the elevated position. His face went back.
That or just gets distracted like that, and so then one's covered. But the point is, as soon as he takes it up again, he immediately goes back to that place.
To the front face.
Wherever they fell from, that's where they go back to. Right? So that's why the difference between, you know, let's say a neophyte falling down or an advanced devotee falling down means the fallen condition is the same. But the difference in their understanding of the situation, and once they understand it, what position they'll be in, that's very different. Like that. Like the neophyte may not really understand that's not good. The advanced understands it's not good, but there's not much you can do about it. Does that make sense? And then, but when he does, then he'll go right back to where he was. We may not like it, but it doesn't matter, because that consideration is outside the purview of the mundane. And our not liking it is because of the mundane. Because the natural position is, why would anyone be here, not why would anyone be there? I'm here, you know, so how is it he can get there? Because I see it advancing in devotional service as a matter of prestige and facility. And, you know, in other words, mundane qualities. You know, I get money, and so then I want more money. You know, he's bad, why should he have money? You know, so he's bad, why should he be advanced? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, that gets in the way. That's why the neophytes don't necessarily, they can advance very quickly if they have that faith in sadhus and that, but they can also not advance if they don't appreciate devotees. You know, because the process is not different. It's a matter of how much they have faith in devotees. So we see as in a yatra, the more they have faith in the devotees, the more the yatra is dynamic. And as soon as that faith in devotees is broken, the whole yatra just falls apart. You know what I'm saying? That's the one may say, oh, it's this, it's that. No, it's not a matter of any of that. It's a matter of faith in devotees. Because it's the devotees, it's their association in which the process is then followed. Does that make sense? So that's why one separates the activity that's being done and the devotion. Right? Does that make sense? And the activity itself, then what the purpose is. And so that would be, you're doing the activity very nicely, but for as a show or for your own benefit or for Krishna. Right. Or some mix. So that's the thing. So it's not the performance of the endeavor that makes what's important. Right? It's that who you're doing it for that's important. Does that make sense? Yeah. For a person with strong faith, yes. For a person with strong faith, the scriptural statements have no function. But for a person of weak faith, there is no alternative but the scripture and association of devotees. Means it doesn't mean that, oh, he doesn't follow, he just does what he wants. That's our interpretation from the mode of ignorance. He's whimsical. It means that he's doing it not because the scripture tells him to do it. You know what I'm saying? Let us say you have, you know, the stoplight is there, or the sign is there, and all this and that, and you know, you look down and it says, you know, look left, look right, whatever it is like that, depending where you are in the world. So all these different things, these are the rules, and therefore the only reason you're stopping is because that light is there. The only reason you're looking in the proper direction because it says so. You know what I'm saying? But the point is someone who wants to safely cross the street goes to the edge of the street, will check if cars are coming and this and that, whether the sign is there or not. That means it's not so the scriptural statements have no function. That's what it means. It's not that he's not doing it. Does that make sense? Right? Yes. He's already doing it, therefore you don't have to tell him to do it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, like you say, the person who understands the safety in the car, he'll get in the car and put on his seatbelt. But for people who don't, then the car makes noise or flashes lights or does all kinds of things. Some of them won't start. Whatever it is, they do though. So there, that would be the point, is the scriptural statements have function, because if they aren't there, you won't do it. Mm. But for the person who's already doing it, they don't serve a function, because you don't need to hear to do it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. For a person of weak faith, because there's attraction to all these material things, so therefore he needs the scripture to tell him what to do. Happened last night in mantra class. Just going along, just suddenly I couldn't talk. For this class of faithful person, initiation is necessary. From the authorized guru, a devotee receives the conclusions of the scriptures and the mantra, and practices deity worship according to the instructions of the guru. In this way, he progresses. For this type of person, the Dasamula Siksha, 10 essential teachings, are important. One essential teaching is the authority or source of knowledge, in other words, scripture. The other 9 essentials, known as pramayas, are the conclusions stated by the authority of scripture. Footnote 36. Okay, we understand this? In other words, if one is on the spontaneous platform, then he doesn't require. So we see the 6 Goswamis, it's not that they require Shastra to do what they're doing. Like, means Haridas Thakur. Where did he go to? Where did he learn this from? He's born in a Muslim family, right? He's vegetarian right from the beginning. He's already chanting Hare Krishna. You know, at 5 years old, he leaves home. You know, how does that work? Where was the education? So that spontaneous attraction is there, he's already doing it. Right? So therefore, one who's already on that platform, then these other aspects aren't necessary. Right? But if someone is conditioned, then that's required. Yes?
In a sense, for this person, initiation is necessary. This is Pancharatrika initiation?
Yes, Pancharatrika. Okay.
Because the Bhagavad initiation.
Bhagavad is only Siksha. Yeah, in other words, you associate with the devotees, you hear, and then that's you're able to follow. But for the other person, you have to have the Diksha Guru, and you always think, well, I have to follow what he says. On the other platform, the Bhagavad platform, what you've heard from the Vaishnavas, you will follow. So that's why it's making this point, he requires a guru. The other one automatically will have a guru. But the other one requires a guru, because unless you point out this is the guru, then you won't follow. Yes.
Is that because the soul getting Bhagavad initiation is on a liberated platform?
He's on the liberated. So there's... Yeah, he won't cheat. There's no mundane elements, no attraction. So just automatically he serves Krishna, he hears the instructions, then he just follows them. So that's the initiation. That's his guru. But here, you know, you go and you see and maybe and you hear something and get developed a listening relationship, all these different things. Slowly, slowly you develop, then it's, you know, formalized, and then you keep following and then like that. So you require that formal kind of thing, because otherwise you won't do, because the faith is not that strong. Right, it's there, and it's enough to practice, but it's not enough to be spontaneous. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, the normal process is for... That's why we're looking, where's the other process? Because the process, look, it's for the weak faith, you know. That's us. Yeah, okay. You know? Like that. But it's the same process, because by following it, one will get to that stage of the firm faith, right? And so that spontaneous element will be there. So it's not that, so the one will naturally turn into the other. And if the other is there, that means this side is already accomplished. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
It's interesting, when we look from up to down, then it's weak. But when we look from down to up, then...
It's normal, yeah, it's there. And then there's that stuff over there. I don't know what they're talking about, right? You know, so. Yeah, like that. Okay, footnote 36. If the topics are divided into two groups, source of knowledge, praman, and what is proven by the source of knowledge, prameya, the first topic is praman and the rest are prameya. The statements of amnaya are the chief proof. By these statements, the nine prameyas are taught. Sriman Mahaprabhu's Siksha, page 4. Amnaya means that which is... Let's see. Amnaya means the scriptures, the parampara, the authority, like that. You know, in other words, that perfect knowledge.
Yeah. That's important.
Yes, means praman is the first one and prameya the other nine. But the point is, it's in two groups. It's not that the groups have to be equal. Hey, this is not equal. We have to. No, it's a matter of this. Just that's the way it is. There's the Shastra, and then there's what's proven by Shastra. So there's two groups. So therefore, Praman and Prameya. So when you list the Dasamul, you have the first one is Praman, and then you have the first one, and then you have Prameya as the other ones. And then those can be divided into the Sambandhavide and Prayojan. So the first seven are Sambandha, the eighth is Abhideya, and the ninth is Prayojan. But the first one is Shastra. So technically it is what everything's based on, so you can't count that as part of Sambandha. But that's kind of like what you require before you can start. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you want to teach the first things about cooking. You do require a pot and knife and this and that. When all those things are there, then you can teach cooking. That's why it's so essential to study, yes. But study in association of devotees under the direction of Guru. That's what has to be done. Because those who are, you know, would be in the firm faith, they would automatically do that. Because they like Krishna, so anything about Krishna, so they're hearing about Krishna, so then that becomes what they like to hear and what they like to do.
It is like eternal occupation.
Yes. 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 Well, here, then it's because Shastras say that's why we'll do it. Like, if Shastra didn't say we had to study Shastra, we probably wouldn't. You know, if it didn't say we had to take initiation, we wouldn't. You know, we had to associate devotees, we wouldn't. So therefore, That's why it has to be. But for the other, he likes associating with devotees. He likes hearing from the scriptures. Like we were, you know, when all those devotees come to Prajumna Kunj, that's all they do. They sit down and chant. They discuss the philosophy, the etiquette. All that's just very natural. No one who was sitting there and telling him, okay, now do this. Okay, now everybody, you know, no. And, you know, and then somebody, you know, cue, okay, Vaishnava, here's your chance. You know, then he gets down and rolls in the dust. You know, no, it wasn't like that. It hasn't been prearranged. So that's the thing they spontaneously follow. That's what it means by there's no need of the scriptures. The scriptures, it's not that they don't follow scriptures. It's that they're doing it without the scripture telling them to do it. But it doesn't mean they don't study scripture. But they're studying scripture because it talks about Krishna. We study scripture because we're supposed to. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. I guess this would probably be the weakness in our defining the attraction to the halava as spontaneous devotional service, because we're attracted to the eating process, not that it's Krishna.
Mixed.
Okay, we'll give you that.
By continually eating halava, then one comes to the pure platform.
Yeah, probably.
The Prabhupada said we could eat our way back to Bhagavad.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Praman, the first essential teaching. Okay, so that was the introduction to the Dasamul, right? That we have to. But now this Dasamul will cover a few showers, right? Within the first rainfall. All the Acharya's works are done like this. The chapters and the parts and all this are turned into these very nice analogies. So here's rainfall and shower.
Waves and oceans.
Yeah, waves and oceans. So you have the oceans and then the waves. So they all... is also...
showers.
But I don't think there's rainfalls. I think it's just showers. Oh no, it's clouds.
Yeah.
There it has clouds and then showers. So the first cloud and then there's so many showers within that. So. Okay. The devotee with Dridha Shraddha, by chanting the holy name with intrinsic faith, right, it means that in natural, right, realizes spontaneously the nine essentials shared by the scriptures, stated by the scriptures, by the mercy of the holy name. It is not necessary for him to digest the philosophical points raised in the scriptures, but, right, because he already understands it, right. You know, so we say, you know, you have to listen, you have to, you know, express your affection, you have to buy things and, you know, do things like this. But if someone has that natural affection, he does those things. Yes.
One of the elements of Dasamula Tattva is the Chinta Devagoda Tattva.
Yes.
Which, to my understanding, is unique to the Gaudiya mind.
Yes.
As opposed to the other Vaishnava Sampradayas.
Right.
So let's assume a Sri or a Mata is chanting with such faith. Would he also realize the Chinta Devagoda conclusion?
Means if he's chanting in this line, then yes. But there's also the element that they would realize it to some degree, because, as was being discussed before, is Achinta Beta Beta Tattva is actually the nature of the living entity. Right? And so therefore, there is that aspect. To some degree. It means all the things we talk about, even the Raga Nuga and this and that, within, you know, we will say the Vaikuntha lines, those are Vaidhi lines. But they also have within the Vaidhi, which is the more spontaneous following of the Vaidhi, or which is doing it just because you're supposed to. But it's they spontaneously follow the, you know, the thing. You understand? So that's the difference. The rag means is that you're doing the activity, but it's not because of the scripture, just because you like doing it. Here's you like following the scripture. You understand? So they talk about that level. So if you talk about raga nuga, that aspect, they'll appreciate it. Unless you say it has nothing to do with scripture, then they'll speak out. So then they don't see it. But otherwise, they where you give up all the attachment. They follow Varnashrama, where you give that concept up and function beyond that. So they accept all these, but it's within the context of Vaikuntha. So that's why Lord Chaitanya, all Vaishnava Siddhanta is the same. But Lord Chaitanya's then is especially even more, because it brings it in its original form, in its fullest, where all these aspects come out. That's why others can find their conclusions in our line. It's not the other way around. It means we can find what we're talking about in theirs, but they can find what they're looking for in ours, because there's a more completed definition. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not this way because it's ours, it's that way because that's the way Krishna revealed it. But those who have weak faith quickly fall from the devotional platform by bad association. If they do not have the backing of scriptural authority. Right? So in other words, without the scripture and this and that, then just by association one would fall from the position. But by following the scripture, by good association, then they stay, and they stay away from what's that. So that's what establishes. The Vedas, which discuss Brahman, are their source of knowledge. Because much of what we have to deal with is Brahman. Because what you're attached to is Brahman. But we don't think it's Brahman. We think it's, you know, something else. And so therefore the Vedas become the main point of focus. So in scriptures, that's where it goes back to the Vedas. As the Vedas, being vast in scope, have many prescriptions for those interested in fruit of action and in personal realization, instructions for the devotee is not easy to extract. In order to clearly show the real meaning which is revealed here and there in the Vedas, the Satvika Puranas have been given. Among the Satvika Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best, most explicitly explaining the highest import of the Vedas. Thus, the Bhagavatam and the Pancharatra scriptures, which confirm the same conclusions, are counted as authoritative knowledge. In other words, the Bhagavatam and the Vedas, these are transcendental knowledge. Because the Veda actually, because of the presentation, it's counted actually within mundane knowledge. But it has all the transcendental within it. But the extraction of that, that's in the Bhagavatam and the Pancharatra. Yes.
Interesting, because at the beginning of the chapter he said that Chaitanya Charitamrita was our main source of knowledge, but that's pointing to Bhagavatam.
Yes. Yes. In other words, our book is Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Gita is a preliminary study, Chaitanya Charitamrita is an advanced study. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Like Prabhupada said, like postgraduate study, like that. So, yes.
I heard there was in the Vedas the number of shastras is given, and there's only 6% that is still around, like in Vishnoi or something.
Maybe, but you know what's around is way over our heads already. You know, we were talking about doing a, you know, just a short. Oh, this is bigger print. Ah, okay. So this is smaller print. Then. You need this for anybody else. Okay. Did we end? Did you check? Huh? We did.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.